Welcome to the Sunday morning service at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, where Pastor Lauren Regeer opens God's Word each week to provide us with biblically based teaching that helps you meet life head on. Thank you for joining us, and may your hearts be blessed as God's Word is taught. And now, here is Pastor Lauren Regeer.
Father, we commend this next few minutes in the Word to you. Thank you for the wonderful, stirring music that had such a ministry in our hearts today. And I pray that you would continue your work now as the Word is open. We pray this in Jesus' name. For His dear sake, amen. Psalm 118 and verse 24, probably a verse you have memorized. Here's what it says. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know that if you were to have an effective year, it means it has to be full of effective days? And so it is here that we come to a verse that's very important to consider. If you want to have effective days, this verse speaks to your heart and to mine. This is the day, the only one we're assured of, right, is this moment. This is the day the Lord hath made. It's a short verse with two phrases, interrupted by a semicolon. That's a grammatical hitch that connects a tractor to a wagon grammatically. The theological hay wagon to the spiritual tractor. Your wagons don't pull any loads, the tractor does. And the verse starts with this engine, truth. This is the day the Lord hath made. So, here comes the wagon, we will rejoice in it. This month, we're sharing messages and thoughts from the Word that will help us direct our steps in the new year. 2018 is upon us, ready or not, here it is. Can anyone finish this verse for me in James chapter 4 and verse 13? Go to now. Hold on there, it says. Hang on a minute. Go to now, ye that say what? Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and sell and buy and get gain, whereas ye know not what. You just don't know what. What shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? Now you caught the gist of it. What is your life? It is what? But a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. Outward man is perishing. The text continues, James 4:15, for ye ought to say, if the Lord will, right? We shall live and do this or that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God is wanting us to know at the threshold of a new year that we are to continue in the things that we've known and been assured of. Keep on the great disciplines that made effective last year your life. Don't give them up. Tie into them. Be even more active and engaged in the things that make for an effective life. Seize with both hands three settling truths about an effective life from this one verse. You ready? First of all, learn to treasure this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. There are two thieves, I am told, of tomorrow. They're the thieves, of course, thieves of joy. Excuse me, there's the thief of yesterday and the thief of tomorrow. Some of you have said, I just can't do anything for the Lord's cause because of yesterday's hurts. And you're piled up in your soul and your spirit this morning because of hurts of yesterday. Or I won't do anything because of tomorrow's what if. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if I don't have the resource? What if it all blows up? I'm not going to do anything for God because I'm afraid of the future. Two thieves of joy yesterday and tomorrow steal today's effectiveness. This psalm was read perhaps at the, they think, some commentators think this psalm was read at the dedication of the second temple, Zerubbabel's temple, that was not nearly as glorious as Solomon's. In fact, there was even some tears shed as the old folks remembered the good old days. And yet this verse is planted right in the middle of this psalm. This is the day the Lord hath made. It may not be as glorious as yesterday or as tomorrow, but this is our day given to us by God. This day is our day. You know why this day is so precious? In fact, it's so precious, God calls it the present. This is God's gift to you. How you use it is your gift to Him. Enjoy this day. Cherish this moment. As I was seated there during a Sunday morning service, which is rare for me, I looked around at you and I thought how precious it is to be a part of this company, this one, in this moment, enjoying this great music. Some of you are living in Somedayville. In Somedayville, you say, it'll be better. My boss will be nicer in Somedayville. Somedayville, my husband will change. In Somedayville, my circumstances will get better. You know that you can't change tomorrow by worrying about it today? Never worry about tomorrow. It doesn't even take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It saps the strength for today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Look around at what God has given you. Your family, your wife. In fact, Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for the morrow. Not that we don't plan. I can tell Heather's a planner. Take no thought for tomorrow. What does the Lord mean by that? Enjoy the present. The morrow shall take care of things of itself. Enjoy the youth of your children. Some of you have scratched, I can't wait to get through this season in life. Enjoy the youth of your children, for soon those moments fly away, right? Enjoy the snoring of your husband, for it far surpasses a silent bed. Enjoy these moments. Enjoy the winter. It's got a beauty all of its own. It gives you a rest from the mosquitoes, the yard work, the mower. Enjoy your youth, your old age, your family, your church, your deacons, your neighbors. Quit longing for another day, another place, another set of circumstances. This is your moment of opportunity. This is your day. Quit longing for something else. Learn, first of all, to treasure this day. Secondly, learn to measure this day. The Bible says, Psalm 118, 24, this is the day that what? The Lord hath made. God's never made anything without purpose, design, and intention. So this day is God's gift to you, and it comes with purpose. God's made you for this day and the day for you. In fact, all the way back to the garden, we see in Genesis 1:5, God called the light day, the darkness He called night. I understand we're supposed to sleep at night. And we're supposed to use the day for the purposes of God. Use the moments. They're the only ones that were promised as this day. Evening and morning were the first day. And the Bible says we are not to provoke the Lord. In fact, today, while it is yet today, harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation. Why was God mad at the children of Israel? Well, they left Egypt, and all they wanted was to go back to Egypt. They couldn't rejoice in the day that God had made. These days must be measured. The psalmist Moses, actually in Psalm 90, when he was told he could not cross into the promised land, think of it, because of his sin at the rock, striking it, wrote these words in Psalm 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days. He could have said, Lord, if you're not going to take me over, I give up, I quit. I hate wandering around through this sandy wilderness. I'm just going to give up. But he says, no, in spite of the fact that I will not go over in the promised land physically, teach me to number my days that I might apply my heart to wisdom. Use this day. God made it. Must be measured. Use well. Quit saying, someday out yonder I'll go on a missions trip. Someday out yonder I'll fix the roof, lose weight. Someday I'll save money, read my Bible through. No, this is your gift today. So start today and obey God's wonderful commands. Open the day and use it with purpose. Look someone in the eye today that you love and let them know you love them. Quit waiting for somebody's funeral to get up and eulogize how wonderful they were. Tell them while they still have ears to hear. Pick up the phone today and call your mother. Amen, moms. And tell them while she can still hear you. Even if you have to speak up, Mom, I just love you. And I'm not going to wait till your funeral to tell you that. A husband needs to hear that. a wife, perhaps, kids. They need to hear it from their parents. Quit hanging the carrot out in front of their nose and say, son, when you finally do this, then you'll be worthy of, no, this is your day. Tell them today that you love them. Don't wait for them to change into the person that's some kind of perfect ideal before you let them know how much they mean to you. My son scored 29 points. I just got that in the message. I wrote that here for you to understand this. In the basketball game. And my wife was jumping up and down, shouting like a little schoolgirl for him as he walked out of the locker room. I slapped him on the back like a good dad and said, son, if you had used the glass, you'd have had 40 points. And my wife gave me one of those looks. This is the day. Enjoy this moment. Instead of living in the past or longing for the future. So here in your hearing, I just want to say to my son Ethan, and Nathan who's hiding in the sound room, how proud I am of you this day. If you never get any better at all in basketball, understand your father loves you with all of his heart. This is the day that God hath made. Let's fill it with purpose and ministry and usefulness for the glory of God. Learn to treasure your day. Learn to measure your day. It's God's gift to you. In fact, James tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to good and doesn't do it, don't procrastinate. Do these things you know to do today. And then thirdly, we are to learn to pleasure in our days. Some of us are so grouchy, even though we're saved. Amen. We have all the benefits that Brother Andrew read for us or memorized and quoted for us in Psalm 103. What a wonderful benefit package, but we can be so grouchy about our faith. This is the day God hath made, with all your troubles that he's gifted you with and all your joys and challenges. This is still the day. And so, what does the psalmist say? He says, so, knowing that there's the tractor engine truth, this is the day God gave you for his purpose and placed you in it. So therefore, what does he say? I will. What? I will what? I will be glad and I will rejoice in it because God has placed me in this moment for his glory with his purpose. And by God's grace, I'm going to put a smile on my face and thank him for it. I will rejoice. Learn to take pleasure in your days. The Bible says this is the day. I will rejoice. It's a decision. And here it is. The secret to a happy life is not a happy wife. It isn't. It's great if you have a happy wife. The secret to a happy life is this, to fully use each day for the fullest glory of God. And to do so without a longing for something better somewhere else, but rather a settled delight that God is all I need. I've seen little boys, Brazilian boys on the mission field, break up dry mango pods or seeds so poor that they can't afford any toy at all, and they use these half shells of mango seeds and push them around pretending they're boats in dirty sand, and they will just literally squeal with delight, just contented at the mango seed that is their toy. I've seen leprous Christians near Manaus, North Brazil, sing with such joy, blind eyes because of the leprosy, maimed bodies, but they sang with a type of singing in the hymn singing time that I've never heard, rivaled by any other church in North America. This is God's day. He's placed me in it. I will rejoice. The Lord is my strength, Psalm 118, verse 14. He's my song. What a great morning for that reminder. Is God really your song? Or is he just the creed that you quote on your way to church? Is God become your song? Aaron Coffey was here just this week, told the teens about rock star Kurt Cobain, who's passed away. At 22, he was so rich, popular, but yet he was desperately unhappy. He would literally shake his wife, Courtney, and cry out, "Why am I so unhappy? I have everything this world could ever offer me." He didn't have Christ. He would take his life at age 27, leaving the saddest goodbye note you've ever read. He never found joy in money or popularity or music. Pastors can lose their joy too. I read this comment from a pastor in Indiana just this week. He said, "As a young pastor, I was never contented. I was never satisfied with anything. With my Sunday school teachers, I was never satisfied with their efforts to build their classes. With our music, our missions giving, I was never satisfied with how much we pledged. I was never satisfied with any part of it. We probably had the best music program in the state, but I was not content with it. I was not content with the growth and maturity level of my church members. The same was true with other aspects of our church. I was always pushing for greater heights. I was never satisfied with where we were at the time. Contentment eluded me. It always has been a major problem with me," he confessed. "I have always labored under the premise that the biggest room in our church is the room for improvement. The empty pews always shouted to me much more loudly than those that were full of godly people who were so faithful." He said, "Although I appreciate what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4:11, I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, I figured that didn't apply to me. I was driven by a spirit of discontentment. I always figured that if I was going to be involved in anything that could be improved, even if it was an incremental amount," just in case you think, he says, "though, I was a tyrant." I wasn't. I was the hardest on myself. I drove myself, family excluded, 24/7, often at the expense of others around me. He said, "I have an idea that I was not alone in this dilemma. I've known several preachers that are driven as I was. No doubt they are learning now to be content as they have many of my friends retired. I know I am as time goes by." The Levites were not given ground. They were instead given what? God, who would be their portion. And he said, "I was not content with God. I wanted things around me to improve. And I was mad at God because it wasn't happening fast enough." This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me ask you a question. Simple conversation with your friends. How long does it take before they understand how discontented you are with your life, your church, the weather, circumstances, your job? Or have you simply decided, this is God's day, he's given it to me, I will rejoice and be glad in it? Hitch yourself to that wagon. Hitch yourself to that truth. Be happy in Jesus, and when you are, no language your rapture will tell. You will know it. God will know it. Others around you will know it. Treasure the day. It's your gift from God. Measure the day. Number your minutes and use them wisely. It's full of purpose. He made it. And then take pleasure in your day. You are in Christ, and he is all you need. I will rejoice and be glad in it. His mercy endureth to all generations and from everlasting to everlasting. He'll never run out of mercy.
Thank you for joining us today. Please tune in each week for new messages from Pastor Lorne Regeer at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you.